Welcome everyone to another installment of Bourbon and Browntown. I am your host, David Browntown, as always, joined with my boy Colin Browntown. Colin, how you doing?
I am doing good. How are you?
Yeah, we're tired, man. We're running from one place to another. Sometimes it's like, God damn. Well, we have a car, so we're not really running, are we?
You have a car. He chauffeurs me around. It's nice. Yeah. Home, James.
Yeah. He falls asleep on my ass, so it's okay.
Self-care.
Yeah. Colin, what are we drinking?
We are drinking a bit called Handle of Evan Williams. And it's not bad. I understand it's not the super top shelf.
But
those bourbon critics out there got some slack from the outside community, which is okay. But we're struggling here. Y'all want to sponsor us? Then look up for the team. Yes. We're drinking Evan Williams. We're having a good time with good people. So we're feeling good. I'm feeling good.
And so today we're going to be bringing about, not a unique conversation, but going a little bit more in depth into sort of mental health. And its role that it really plays in the criminal justice system to a degree. And with that, we're going to be talking to someone who has experience within this industry. We have Miles Fountain here. Miles, how you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Man, we're doing all right. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself out there for people who don't know who Miles Fountain is?
So, Miles Fountain. I graduated from Oak Park River Forest High School in 2012, and that's when I also started working in human services. I've been doing that for 6 years now at what used to be called the Institute for Positive Mental Health. We have now recently changed our name to Positive Mental Health.
Why was that?
The reason why was because our customers that would come in, our location is at a church, 820 South Ontario, and they would always see Institute for Positive Mental Health. They would hear from their caseworkers say, hey, we're sending you to Institute. And instantly when they hear that, they think Nut House. That was the, in quotations, that's what they said coming in here. I thought this was a Nut House. And I was like, no, we are an organization to help get you employed. So, yeah, we're just working to get rid of the Institute, but we're still keeping it eye positive because we're working on self. And as long as we're working on self, we're going to keep it eye positive and work on your self-confidence and so on. Two things that I am currently working on. I'm working on a skating company to help bring longboards and skateboards to the community. Chicago needs to be a huge, huge skate city, as big as New York, as big as Austin, as big as Cali. Because we all have the potential. It's a great city. Everyone can just skate throughout the city and just have a wonderful time. And it's exciting. I love the skate community. So I wanted to build, make, and create skateboards and have Chicago artists design the boards and just go crazy. So I've already given away a few skateboards to a few Chicago artists and told them to go crazy. And if folks start liking it, then you'll get more profit. This is how that works. And the second thing I've been working on, just a little bit of information, the retirement age is 70. So I needed to do something that I wanted to do forever until I'm 70, at least until I'm 60. I'm trying to retire by 60. But the one thing that I can do for that entire time is sports broadcasting and journalism. I can talk sports for the rest of my life, and I'm going to be taking jobs at ESPN. That's the goal. So, yeah.
Okay.
Mental health, skateboards, ESPN. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It has to be a full round.
Positive mental health. This is located in Oak Park.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so has it always been located in Oak Park? And for those who don't know, Oak Park is a west suburb of Chicago. So it's like it borders Chicago. But that's still, it's an important thing to like notice that it's not in Chicago.
Yeah, precisely.
It is in Oak Park. You want to tell us a little
bit? Something that is important is that we're still dealing with the customers from mainly the south side of Chicago. And the interesting thing is it's a bittersweet to be located in the suburbs but still get city people to as your customers, because mm-hmm. for that reason, we have to tell them that there probably aren't a lot of jobs hiring in your area.
Right.
There are jobs hiring in the suburbs, but for also a dollar less. Chicago minimum wage is $11 an hour, and I think only in the suburbs it's either $10 or $10.50.
Mm-hmm.
But even telling them that they know that the jobs aren't out there because they're here in the first place. They haven't found any jobs in their area, so they're coming to a different location. And I'm showing them jobs that are not only still in the city, but also just around them in Oak Park. I mean, the job leads that we get job fairs hiring from in the city and all the way out to Waukegan. So it's,
oh, wow,
it's a massive amount of work that's still hiring out there because unemployment's at 4.3%. It's the lowest it's ever been in, I think, the history of this nation. It's sort of the bittersweet to it because they struggle getting out here sometimes. It's the Green Line. It takes an hour and a half for them to get to us, sure, when they're coming from 163rd.
Mm-hmm. If there's no construction.
Yeah, right. Jeez. And a lot of them don't know how to take the Metro as well. They mainly know how to take the CTA. And they're getting used to what the suburbs have to offer, but I'm still showing them all the work that's in the city that's still in their neighborhoods. Hopefully I can get them into either a small business that can keep them for an extended period of time, or I can get them into a place like Target where hopefully it's not seasonal. But yeah.
What's the most consistent type of individual that comes to your organization?
The average customer we get will be a Black woman, single mom, multiple kids, and probably hasn't worked for 3 to 6 months. Specific. Yeah, that's the main point of it. They're all from either South Side or West Side. I've gotten very few males, like ever. I've probably had 5 total. And very few Hispanic women. I've gotten just a few Caucasian women. And the Black women is the main customers that we get. And since they've been out of work for 3 to 6 months, majority of them have had some work experience. There's a few that I have that haven't had any work experience. And those are, I'm going to say, somewhat the hardest, but everyone is going through some sort of mental illness that I am dealing with, as most of us are, because we mm-hmm. have things that we're all dealing with. Life situations happen that could make us feel lonely or sad sure. in other occasions. So it's all about practicing mental wellness, because it's something that it's a confidence skill that you have to practice. And that's the main thing that I start with when teaching, when having my orientations, I'm talking to them, and that's the one thing I'll focus on will be self-confidence first. That would be 50% of what you put on your resume, how you act during an interview, and how you even go about job searching. A lot of confident people will specifically know what they want. Someone who probably isn't as confident will say, yo, put me anywhere. And that's when I tell them, you kind of don't want anything, because a lot of these jobs will fuck you over and it will be quite tragic. That's really the customers that we're dealing with. And I tell them that by the time you leave here, your confidence will be raised, because there's a formula to it. Set a goal, work towards your goal, and as long as you're learning along the way, your confidence will naturally rise. It's very easy to practice, and also have a cheat sheet of you bragging about yourself. that's really important too.
Yeah.
Because we all know what we're not good at. We can list that off at the drop of a dime, but we have to know the things that we're good at, and if you want to, practice them.
And so how long has this organization been around in Oak Park?
We just had our golden birthday, 24 years on the 24th of March. Yeah. So we've been open for the last 24 years.
Go ahead.
I was thinking, there's a lot of things I want to tackle with what you just said, and just a lot of unpack there. And you've been working there for how long?
6 years.
Wow. So I'm trying to think of, has the demographic of most consistent, profile person coming to the organization, has always looked the same? Has always been, Black single moms?
Yeah.
To your knowledge, and if so, just like what is your opinion on that on a macro level? Like, why are you seeing this demographic went from these areas of the city of Chicago particularly?
Simply because that's the area that we serve. If we were serving folks in Melrose, then we would get a different population. But since we're serving specifically South Side and West Side, where there are majority Blacks, that will be the clientele that we get. So if we were to expand and go to different areas, because there are 3.5 million Chicagoans, 1.3 million of them are on state services of some sort. So the clientele is there, but that's all with spacing and the way we've sort of gentrified certain areas to kick certain people out. We haven't been able to get a different clientele.
So you said that all of the people that come to you suffer from some type of mental illness.
Yes.
What does either yourself or your organization define as mental illness, or what is mental health?
Mental health is, by definition, your psychological well-being. Like physical health, your physical well-being. So since it's mental health, all psychological, we're specifically working on the mind. We're going to be working on constructive learning, constructive criticism, and like I said, bringing out that confidence. That's the one thing I will focus on, because folks will come in and honestly, moms have the hardest in the world, the absolute hardest, because everyone is looking towards you to fix every single problem in the family, in the workplace, because you're a woman, and in life. And your children are looking up to you. So with all the weight of the world on your shoulders, their confidence isn't always as high because they're helping everyone else and forgetting to help themselves. One question that I will always ask is, let's say you have a one-year-old child, and I say one because I'll explain, but let's say you have a one-year-old child and neither of you have shoes. Who are you going to buy shoes for first? Majority of them will say their child. And I say, don't buy shoes for your child, because your child currently can't buy shoes. You have to first take care of yourself. You have to buy yourself shoes, because you can also carry a one-year-old. The theory doesn't work for five-year-olds, because by that time, the children's heavy. Like, I'm not carrying a five-year-old. So that's why I use the example of one-year-old. But I tell them, you got to take care of yourself so that you're able to take care of everyone else, because a lot of moms enjoy taking care of everyone else. They're a mom. They love it. They eat it up. And that will be the main thing I work on, will be their confidence and taking care of themselves first. I tell them, hey, be a little selfish. Say no from time to time and take more time to yourself. And once I tell them that, they start taking time to themselves. And, of course, once we start learning and setting a goal, confidence will rise.
With running workshops and kind of talking to folks and kind of building up self-confidence, like you say, is there ever a time for you or maybe your time in this organization where, especially as you kind of articulated earlier, kind of knowing the structural forces in Chicago that, you know, make the South and West Sides disenfranchised and make women's lives harder and make black folks' lives harder and make, you know, marginalized folks harder in the city of Chicago, particularly, is there ever a time with that knowledge and knowing individuals that come from these communities and knowing how, like, you know, certain things may, certain hindrances in their lives that maybe weren't really their fault, them coming to you and then running these workshops, I wouldn't say a savior complex, but is there ever a time where you feel like you're kind of, I don't know, preaching with privilege and you feel implicated in any capacity? Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. By the way I construct my orientations, it's to a macro concept.
Sure.
My life's purpose is to create connections. Currently, I mean, my 20-year-old self is going to be different from my 30-year-old self.
Right.
30 self is going to be different from my 40-year-old self, and so on. But overall, my ability to create connections is why I'm able to teach. I do teach in a confident manner, like here's the information about the workforce that I'm going to bring you. But I also create a connection with them about telling a story, because you're going to be telling stories your entire life. And some things that people don't entirely know how to do is tell their story. So when I talk about telling their story, everyone has a story about how they have overcome something, and that's what I have them do so that we can all sort of come together and no one is above anyone else.
Sure.
As teaching goes, you do have problem folks. The folks who not only don't want to look for work, but feel like the state program that they're on is a waste of time. And the best way to deal with them is to create the connection and tell them, hey, I'm not here to find you a job. I'm here to assist you. So I'm going to assist you as much as I can. Why? Because you should never have to feel like you're going to have to come back to anyone else for any state services or to help you look for employment. You're going to be able to do that after we have you become self-sufficient here. So that will that will just sort of ease the tension of them thinking that I might be superior to them, or them thinking, hey, this isn't the this isn't the right place for me. This is the right place for you, because we're going to help you become self-sufficient. Unlike some other place that's going to put you at a certain location, like a Walgreens. You don't like Walgreens. You get fired from Walgreens, and now you're back on state services. Yeah.
Talking a little bit more about the type of people who use your services, what kind of offenses, or like what do they usually come to you with? Like what is their background?
So the background will usually be that that they didn't like the last workplace that they were at. Mm-hmm. So they've been unemployed for 3 months. They have used food stamps food stamps and TANF for the majority of customers that we deal with. SNAP program, that's it. But the main background that we will get will be, there's a lot of customers I've had with retail theft. For some reason, that does pop up a lot, but
like petty shop.
Yeah. Shoplifting. Mm-hmm. And that will, a lot of them are trying to get it expunged. A lot of them haven't gotten it expunged, but most of it is misdemeanor. I've gotten a few felony charges, but it's interesting to hear around the nation how certain companies have been taking that check mark. Background check off of the application.
It's been a big thing.
Yeah,
really? Couple of
years. Yeah, mm-hmm. Ban the box.
Yeah, it's that's just getting huge. I wonder if they would ever do it for gender, but
baby steps, my friend. Baby
yeah,
steps.
Baby steps.
Say with Jeff Sessions.
Oh man, did you see that shit today?
Man, I didn't. Some customers I've had with assault and battery, their confidence is really low. They instantly go to, I'm never going to find a job with my background.
Yeah.
And when we get those folks that I'm never going to find a job with this background, I tell them, hey, like I said, there's a movement across the country where they're trying to get rid of the box. There are programs in place that will just hire certain folks that no matter what, they have to. And that's where it gets to telling the story about how you overcame this certain thing and now you're ready for the next step.
Yeah. Two things. One, I kind of just recently read an Atlantic article that talks about the same thing you just said. The overwhelming mm-hmm. majority of folks had been arrested for crimes of survival, such as retail theft to find food or supplies, or breaking entering to find a place to sleep. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's a lot of these cases of people doing this, especially these misdemeanors, these low-level offenses are really just things to like keep going in life. Yeah. And then it gets on your record, and it's kind of cyclical. Especially if a band in the box doesn't catch fire, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting. And it's like it's problematic when you see the cycle kind of just continue and kind of go all about.
Yeah, it does continue.
Yeah, and I think you spoke something too. Is like as far as coming at a problem, a sociological or societal problem from kind of two ends. One is the end as far as you're doing the work on the ground, working with people, mm-hmm. telling their stories, telling their narratives. We always kind of talk about it in Soapbox and how that's important and empowering. But also you're not unaware of the macro level forces that make this possible, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think all nonprofits, in my view, like need that analysis as far as like, this is the problem. We want to not exist because of this problem. Yeah. As long as this. But in the meantime, before the revolution, what do we do, right? Mm-hmm. And you do these things, you work with folks, talk with their narrative, talk about do this to get a job, to eat, and, do these crimes of survival, but also, understand there's bigger shit happening, just macro level, systems of oppression we always talk about. They need to be eradicated, but...
Which, I mean, it's crazy, though, because he just said, the organization's been doing this for 24 years, so clearly nothing has changed, or has it? I don't know. From what I know you've only been there for a certain amount of time, but within the history of your organization, what have you seen to be the biggest, contribution to change?
As the population... Now, this is the tragic part, is that as the population grows in the city of Chicago, so does the clientele. Yeah. Since it is that consistent system of keeping folks at a lower standard and a lower level, you'd be surprised. A lot of the customers that I will get, I'd say a strong 40%. They would say, my grandmama was on TANF, my mom was on TANF, I'm going to be on TANF.
Give me that shit.
And that's the thing. TANF is temporary assistance for needy families.
Yeah.
That will, but Bill Clinton eradicated the thing about having it for a lifetime. You can't have it for a lifetime anymore. You're only on it for 5 years. So once those 5 years are up, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And when I get those folks, it's like, all right, I'm about to, you're about to learn.
Like, I learned today.
It's about to go down. That's when I really get excited. And hey, sometimes my teaching spirit has been low to where I get up and I'm like, how am I going to teach these folks? And I learning myself at the same time. And yeah. That's when I had to get excited, more excited to learn. And usually when we have a low amount of customers, there are less perspectives going around where I have less ideas to bounce off of, but it's the human mind. So I'm just trying to pull from every angle that I can get. But I love having the big groups and the big discussions. I can bounce off everyone at that point.
But it's hard not to get jaded. Like,
yeah.
Especially in like situations like that. Like I had a conversation with a Lyft passenger and he was like, telling me he was a defense attorney, right? A public defense attorney. And he's like, works predominantly with like gang cases and stuff. And he was like, telling me he was also a little drunk. So, you know, you're always a little more honest when you've been drinking.
Right now.
No, but he's like, yeah, no, I was like, I'm really jaded. And like, it became problematic because I was like, well, you're jaded about something, but like your job is to defend these people. You're like, and you're already immediately like, you see a case and you're like, yeah, he probably did it. We're just going to try to settle or something. And I was like, you see how that's problematic, but it's like, it's hard sometimes for us, by us, I mean like, you know, to understand what it's like to actually deal with this on a day in, day out, like being, seeing this sort of cyclical cycle and being like, how the fuck is it going to break? Who's going to break this?
Like, yeah, like that's very interesting that you mentioned that because thinking about it now, mm-hmm. we have this thing where we're almost determined. I'm determined in my head to say that no one is unemployable, but I also understand that paradigms exist. It's a situational truth that you mm-hmm. will go through. And since it is a situational truth, you're probably only unemployable for a certain amount of time. I had someone recently who we deemed unemployable because not only could she not find childcare, but she wasn't able to, she was so in the mix of domestic violence, not having childcare, mm-hmm. working with other family issues, that how do you even begin to look for work?
Yeah.
And it was just a massive problem that was on her, and we were trying to alleviate every issue, trying to give her as much advice as possible. Since she's asking questions, she felt most comfortable with us. The only reason we kept her for so long is because she kept on coming back to us, even with all the problems. She was swapped from our program twice and still was like, yeah, I want to come back here.
What does that mean, swapped from your program?
They get monthly assistance. They get cash every month.
Sure.
And if you were to get swapped, means you probably missed too many days, you had other problems, you didn't attend, and now you're not able to come back to this program, you're going to get sent to a different site, you go back to your local office. In the local offices, we have one on 63rd and Cottage, we have another one at Ogden and Cermak, and so when they go back to a local office, they talk to their caseworker about what happened, and after a certain amount of time, they're eligible to go to another work site. Like us, mm-hmm. but then they asked to come back to us.
Yeah, it's very something, right?
Yeah,
something.
So we're talking about all this, as you've mentioned, with most of your clientele, is mental illness plays its role, and we see how it plays its role outside of it, but we're also looking at, you know, the criminalization of bodies, right? Mm-hmm. And so how much attention is paid, how much attention isn't. Do these people actually get the treatment they deserve when they get caught up on some dumb shit? Like,
no. And that's one thing that sort of drives addiction. And I have this thing where sometimes I don't believe addiction exists.
Uh-huh.
For the certain fact that they did this study where they pretty much they put a mouse in a box and had it food and water and gave it, kept it nourished. But they also put heroin water or cocaine water.
Good old cocaine water.
And the mouse that was alone in the box was consistently drinking the The cocaine water.
He does a straight face. That's a normal thing.
Yeah, it's cocaine, cocaine water. And
cocaine.
So they did it. They did a different experiment where instead of just one mouse in the box, they put a bunch of rats in the box, where they pretty much created this rat park of where the rats can play and all hang out together, have a bunch of sex, and do what rat sex. Rat park. The thing about it is, in rat park, where everyone was together, no one really went for the cocaine laced water. They didn't go for it because they really didn't need it. They had each other. They had everyone else. And so they had that same experiment of a human experience for the Vietnam War. I think it was 60% of the soldiers that were in the Vietnam War were using heroin. And so they thought, a lot of the American civilians, they thought that when the soldiers came back, that everyone would just be druggies in the street. And that wasn't the case. 90% of everyone that was using heroin in Vietnam stopped when the conflict was over, when they came back. Why would that be? If you think about addiction, you think, oh, you are addicted to this thing. But as I said earlier, that humans create connections. We're either going to create connections with things or with people. And so leading on to the criminal justice system, we haven't treated addiction by any stretch of the imagination. We convict people for having a certain situation and then tell them they're wrong for being in a certain situation when it wasn't entirely their fault. So the best way I think that we can deal with problems in the criminal justice system and mental illness is understand the difficulties and problems that people have, but we need more education simply in the jail system. Mm-hmm. We need more job readiness training coming out of the jail system. Mm-hmm. There need to be programs in place where you're still learning skills and keeping up with what is changing in jail. Because if you've been in jail for the last 30 years, 20 to 30 years, and you come out and it's 2018,
what the fuck
and
is
you're
Facebook?
Like, what is
Mark Zuckerberg is getting this? Interviewed by the White House? By the who? What?
Yeah, by the FBI. And what is happening in this fast-paced entrepreneurial age where everything is accepted and not accepted at the same time? How do you function? And so a lot of, even 10 years, I couldn't even imagine someone going to jail now and then coming out in 2028.
Yeah. Flying cars.
Like we already have self-driving Ubers. What's happening? So we need programs in place that are specifically going to help the person able to function once they get out.
Absolutely.
And also not incriminate people who sell weed.
Yeah.
Since it's legal in, 10 states? Or
I do not know the numbers, but they are rising.
No, I think there are plenty of things that we can do regarding, the prison systems themselves. But I think it's interesting because I don't think I've ever thought of, you've been in jail for 15 years, and then you were caught on some dumb shit, and then you get out. You're like, all right, well, I'm cool now. I'm not going back to where I was at, but, I can't go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So what kind of happens? So, we oftentimes are so busy talking about, destroying the industrial prison complex. Prison
nation for some folks, whatever you call it. It's all the same.
Because we see the flaws, the errors of privatizing our prisons, yada yada, woo woo. But it's it's looking at whether we want that to happen or be a thing. It hasn't happened, and so what is happening now? And for people who are dealing with this on a day to day basis, how do you? And it's interesting that you guys are in Oak Park. Because Oak Park's predominantly a pretty nice neighborhood, so to speak.
It's one of the best places to raise a family.
Yeah, and then if you're looking, that you're saying that most of your clientele is coming from West Side. And by West Side, I'm assuming you mean Blue Line West Side, or more West, or
No, I mean that's K Town.
And South Side, you said Cottage, as far as Cottage Grove.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, a question that I kind of was thinking about. So is what? What's your repeat look like? Or do you have a lot of other than that one specific woman you told us, like how often is it that people do you see them come
so
back?
We don't really get a lot of repeat customers because we'll get on average as of the last since 2012, I think every year except for this year, we've gotten over 50 people hired.
Nice.
Yeah, and that number only dwindled this year because it was a contract year. We had a new contract. The offices gave us less clientele, and with a new computer system in place that they're still working with, mind you. I'm about to spill some information.
Here it comes. Y'all ready?
Drum roll. Okay. So there's a new computer program that the TANF put in place. TANF, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. Okay. The statewide program that they put in place to help folks get paid. Pretty much a computer system where you enter case notes, timesheets, the whole bit. Mm-hmm. They spent $195 million on a computer program that doesn't work. We currently have customers that can't get paid because we can't enter timesheets, because we can't accept people into the system. People are not getting paid, which they're supposed to from the state in order to even function at the level that they're functioning at, and they can't do it on a $195 million computer system. That blew my mind. That was reported. That was reported by NBC.
Is this on the federal level or is this like
state level?
Okay,
state level.
Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As soon as they got a budget, they wasted it on this system.
It's not surprising. I mean, I wanted to mention this earlier. I don't want to get too off topic, but it's like, you know, we always look at like, where does the money go? How do we reform or revolutionize certain systems? Like, where's the money coming from? Where do we allocate money to? Mm-hmm. And it's like, instead of programs within the prisons or coming out of prisons for help folks get, you know, be job ready, like your organization, mm-hmm. or just learn skills while they're in or kind of keep up to date with what's going on the outside, so that when they're out, they'll be contributing members of society. We spend money on legislation to get folks locked up and to get money in the state that way.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Cook County Jail as the largest mental health facility in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, what's the problem with that? And looking the same at
the end. No, and then Session goes up. He's like, so, well, we have some empty spaces here in these prisons here.
Yeah, right. And like, the prison population finally went down a little bit under Obama. And then, you know, kind of going right back up with Sessions as Attorney General. So it's like, uh-huh. mm-hmm. we see all those things, and I always want to keep it local to Chicago. It's like, what's happening in our city? And not down the block. But, you know, not super far from where we're at right now. It's like, we have the largest mental health facility in the nation, and it's not a good thing. It's the jail.
Yeah,
right?
It's an absolute jail. And the thing is that that's funny that you mentioned that, because whenever a state budget is put into place, the private jails lose money for not filling up themselves. They will lose. Like the jail in Arizona, Arizona State Jail, I think they lost $2.5 million for not filling up another 3% of their cells. And they're like, yo, the crime rate went up.
Yeah. It's getting them bodies right quick. Get that collar. That's what they say.
And the fact that the crime is what it is in Chicago means that they're going to fill up themselves. Tragically. And something that is important that I will always remember, my friend and I were talking one day, and it just pretty much came to me. Folks, for the crime rate to be as high as it is in the South Side, folks on the South Side, they're not angry, they're hungry. They're simply trying to get what they need to stay alive. They're not angry. It's not an angry city. It's not a violent city. It's a very loving city where it's just, there just needs to be some common ground. There's too much miscommunication between on both sides.
On both sides.
Snap.
Well, that's what, I mean, this is kind of getting to that point, but it's like, this is me like several years ago too. It's like, well, private prisons are like bad and make profit out of people and whatever, which is like, private prisons are fucked up, but it's like, for one, they're a small percentage of all prisons. For two, Obama closed a couple of them when he's in office. Mm-hmm. For three, prisons are bad, like prisons in general, right? Public prisons as well. Mm-hmm. Speaking to what I mentioned earlier about like nonprofits that have a, you know, a good framework analysis on like societal problems, it's like, prisons should really have the same framework, right? It's like, we want to not exist, so how do we make it so that we don't exist?
Yeah.
And I think folks kind of know this now because it's repeated in mass incarcerations in the public dialogue now, which is great. But it's like, oh, like, most folks are in jail for nonviolent drug offenses. And it's like, yeah, it's like...
We know.
The war on... we've been telling y'all, motherfuckers.
Quarter of... Like, my brother on some dumb shit.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, we now know the war on drugs, like, does not work. So how do we work backwards for, like, to work against that?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the organizations like yours, there's, you know... lawmakers, you know, as much as they, you know, fuck everything up, kind of realizing this as well, which I think is good. Mm-hmm. There's folks kind of also activists, of course, as always, and kind of always have known this, but I've seen this growth in a lot of different spheres, which feels good.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a radical imagination to see what this can look like and how we can make moves to make this happen. But it's like I'm optimistic is a little strong, but I like what I have seen the past like couple years. And I'm very curious, interested to see how we'll take this forward and how this intersects with mental health and mental wellness. And
honestly, you know, all that. The one step we need to make is something that I have seen recently that I thought about on the train on the way over here. Is that there's been a change in social media. An entire shift in the way some people think and perceive it. And one thing that I have seen is that prior to, let's say, 3 years ago, politicians use celebrities to get what they want, but celebrities rarely use politicians to get what they want. And now you've seen a change in that over the last couple of years where celebrities are like, yo, we need to get some different folks in office. And they're pushing to get different folks in office. And the fact that I've seen so many celebrities recently posting the, oh, remember to love yourself, and that's only going to continue to grow. And as more celebrities, we need more people to come out and just post about wellness and providing mental wealth and simply providing mental care, so that once the celebrities pitch in, then money, then it's forcing the politicians to push more money to mental health, because human services, that's the last thing that gets funded by the government.
Absolutely.
They're like, human services, what? You're literally dealing with humans. I don't get it. But yeah, it's one thing we need to do is just get the money to small business owners, so that they can now even push people getting employed more. Once folks got money, the confidence goes through the roof.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you look at like poverty and, you know, lack of education, lack of all these like really essential things to be a person in the world. We see those things not there. We see crime. We see all the things that, you know, no one wants their communities. But if you have resources and, you know, access and all that good stuff, then we see crime go down. So, you know, our money should probably go there and not to you know, cop academies and things of that nature.
Well, I mean, this is like, and you're right, like we're seeing it happen. Like we just talked a couple episodes ago with Ruby about like chant, you know, and the way this campaign, which is still going on, like at the, like while we're recording, like
they've delayed, no cop academy.
Yeah. Or nocopacademy.com, where you can find all the info and all the great things that they've done over the last few weeks, specifically after Chicago had its spring break. So the CPS was out and the kids were about, so they put them right into action. And you can check it out there on the podcast. But like, we're having that conversation, but like when chance comes in, then it becomes nationwide. Then, you know, people are asking questions, and then you put them on the hot seat.
And that's good, right?
Yeah.
But it's also like they've been doing this work for months, so it's like, why wasn't that a thing? Mm-hmm. You see on the flip side as well. It's like, you know, when Trump was elected, folks are mad, folks are newly radicalized, and these are raw feelings. When I say folks, I mean like everybody, but like, you know, folks, you know, wealthy, straight white folks are like, oh, this is messed up. And it's like, yeah, motherfucker. You're talking about white supremacy and mass incarceration for centuries. You know, imagine now. But it's like, it's good, right? So how do you like harness that? But also like, how do you work against that celebrity culture where one person who's known is it for or against something and everyone kind of rallies behind that and use that energy, but also understand that energy comes from a systemic, you know, thing.
Something that's important will be informing them that there are people looking to help. That there are your chances, your LeBrons that will donate to every small business in Cleveland, that will pay for was it, a million kids to go to college, however sure. many folks were he was working with in Cleveland and in Akron. Once you start funding human services, that will lead to funding education. Mm. And once we start funding education, the how many schools we tore down the last 3 years?
20 years. 15, 5 years? 2013. Yeah, I think like yeah. 20 since then.
Yeah.
I think a little like less than 100, but more than like 60.
They've been dropping because for some reason
flies.
That No Child Left Behind program literally left children behind. Oh my God. Who would have thought? Because they only fund schools that are doing well, and you're going to be doing well if you have the money. So it's
right.
that money needs to be spread. Honestly, yeah. It just needs to be spread.
Wow. And this is why it's important, but we're glad that we have organizations like yours who are being able to help, you know, being able to assist in, as you say, and really just what I really appreciated was like you mentioned that your organization is to destroy the oppressor's paradigm, right? Mm-hmm. And I think with that, you're aware that at one point you're not going to be doing this job anymore, and that is the goal.
The hope. Yeah.
That is the goal, and that's important to hear, because then you really know what your job is there, right?
Yeah.
You're not there to go around the bullshit. But is there anything that folks should know about what you guys will be doing within the next few weeks as an organization?
So over the next couple of months, we are going to be making Father's Day and Mother's Day baskets.
Hey. Shout out to moms and dads.
Yeah, shout out to all the moms and dads.
Non-gender conforming parents.
Oh, we see you.
Y'all stay going to work and do what you do and help the kids out. Y'all know what's up.
So y'all be doing baskets.
Yep. We will be doing the baskets. We will be giving out, we just started making lotion bars.
By we, you mean?
The company. iPositive.org. We will be making lotion, which is, it's a weird process. I didn't even know this was just possible to do at home.
So you're also a chemist at this point.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, okay. Making candles, making soap out of goat milk is
what?
It's the whole thing. Yeah,
sounds delicious.
It's absolutely great. 100% soothing. Don't get ashy afterwards. It's quite wonderful.
Don't get ashy.
No ash.
Yeah, right.
All about it. Brother Ash, be calm. I'm like, no, Brother Ash.
Yeah.
Stay away. The winter months, you know, it's real. Winter months and April, apparently, in Chicago. Yeah. And May.
The Mother's Day baskets will also include what I believe to be is a teacup. Mm-hmm. And also for the Father's Day baskets, they will be in cigar boxes with candle soaps and the whole you dig.
So say you didn't have a child, right? But you wanted a basket. How would one... I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
Strictly. On the website, we will be posting all
and
of
all
our,
of this goes for what?
All of this goes to our nonprofit so that we can continue to do more fundraisers to get our information into the community.
Sure.
The reason why we want to get our information to the community is so that we can learn different companies' training programs to help train people properly to get them into that business. So let's say... Target has their training program. Hopefully I can run that training program and get them into Target through our organization.
Sure.
And that will, of course, mainly start with small businesses where you can get them in your local coffee shop or your local breakfast place, any number of those places. So once that starts, then we can start moving forward on a lot of employment.
Yeah.
Something that else that we are doing next month or this month, we're going to be giving drawing books, coloring books to different restaurants. Whenever you go to a restaurant, they give the child menu and it usually has you
sometimes
draw and stuff
the adult,
on it.
You know, yeah. I take one. I'm just playing.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to give some coloring books because it's surprising what concentration can do with coloring and vice versa. How you can sort of put little pieces together, open up the right brain, sort of become calmer because the left brain is so linear that you can, if you get sidetracked, that could easily throw you off your game. And sure. You need your right brain, your creativity, and your ideas to sort of bring you back in place. So, yeah.
Well, very cool.
It's so great. Miles, thank you so much for hanging out with us. As always, you can find more information about the org at ipositive.org. Be on the lookout for them baskets for Mother's Day, Father's Day.
Them baskets, dope.
Yeah, and support. Miles, thank you for doing the work that you do, and I'm glad that we had you on here, bro. That was dope.
Thank you. Shout out to Soapbox. Hey, thank you. Soapbox. You guys are quite wonderful bringing in everyone and bringing the information on the front page to the table. So
yeah, that's the goal.
Let's continue to control that narrative.
And now that info is on our website, as well as iTunes, as well as Google Play, as well as Spotify, son.
Just today. Ooh. I mean, today they were recording. We just got it. Like, hey, y'all on Spotify. Like, what?
Spotify, podcast, Google Play, website. Check it out, team.
Yeah. Hashtag BNB. Hashtag SBOE. Mm. Stay black, stay brown, stay queer.
Stay tuned, stay turnt.
All right. We out here, bro.